Fania.
Hi, Mike.
How's it going over there? We're both having days. Everything's fine, but we both are kind of all over the place.
All over, up and down.
How have you been? Yeah. You guys were in the park?
We were in the park. It's a short week, all week, because it is teacher-parent conference. And so, yeah, teachers get all their things together and, you know, report cards, all that fun stuff. So, yeah, I think I don't have my conferences until Friday, but the kids also have the full Friday off, which I'm like, what am I going to do with the kids while I have the conference? Maybe just have them sit outside of the classroom, I guess.
I guess so. It feels a little short-sighted.
I mean, people don't give a shit. I'm on like a parent. It's crazy. I'm on a parent leadership committee, you know, because that's what I do. I just involve myself in everything, apparently. But no, it's interesting. It's like, you know, it's this committee or whatever. So you can like understand all the choices the district's making and blah, blah, blah. That happens from 1:30 to 2:30, which is bullshit because that's my pickup time. So honestly, I missed it last week. And I was like, I didn't feel bad. I was like, I'm going to give somebody a piece of my mind. But I'm sure they have a hard time scheduling things, you know. It's funny. I just like, I've been like kind of not pissy, but like I've been like about to tell people off all week long. I don't know what's happening. I'm not even premenstrual. I feel there's like a real edge in the air. Edgy.
Interesting, because I'm going to tell a story later, because I'm also in a weird place where I keep thinking that I'm going to yell at someone.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, we're so in sync.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, that is what it is. We're just on the same cycle at this point, because I'm just in that crazy space where I'm like, and I'm aware that like I should probably calm down. Like I'm aware that like I...
It's hard.
It's me. I'm the problem. It's me. But yeah, it's tough. Can I ask you, this is way too complicated.
No, do it. Ask me.
But I'm so torn is the wrong word, because there's all of this stuff of like the parents' bill of rights and all this stuff about like, and I'm totally into like parents being involved in education. Yeah. But then I'm trying to figure out where it then crosses over to like fucking burning books. Like I can't quite figure out.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I don't know where the line is. Like I can't. And once again, I'm not a parent. Like, so I don't have that kind of responsibility or involvement, but I look at places like Florida or, you know, these places that are enacting all
or
of these
Tennessee
crazy like
or Utah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know where we cross the line from like, obviously parents should be involved in their kids' education, but like a principal just had to quit because their kids saw a Statue of David picture. Like it's so, I get very confused.
That's stupid. I wouldn't be a good principal. I'll tell you that much.
That is one. I mean, I think about that sometimes. Yeah. I think like if that was my line of work, I would definitely be fired. Like,
no,
I don't know.
I would too. I mean, like, we're in the arts, Mike. You and I would be fired for sure.
Because that's probably,
I want people to have expression. So the reason parents should be involved in their kids' education for sure. And, you know, we live in this democratic world where the state, you know, state is in charge of a bunch of things and money gets funneled. And then we've got city, we've got county, we've got school districts. So it's like a lot of the parent stuff that I'm involved in is like sort of watching how money is spent, and you can have an effect if you're like on the school board. If like, let's just say one religion, everybody's on the school board and they're like, we, you know, believe in this, and then they're really not representing the entire community, but they got elected, so affect certain
change,
they can sometimes a curriculum they can affect, you know, stuff like that. I definitely think that the banning books is the most silly thing. But did you hear that the Brooklyn Library offers a online, like through Libby, anybody in the United States, in our nation, can get a library card online if you just, you know, are a student anywhere. Because they're trying, make it so like if you're living in a small area in Florida where, I mean, I'm not sure how they'll find that out, but they have the ability to read those banned books. I don't know. I feel like if somebody's banning something, I want to see why.
That is what it is. Yeah. Like if you're banning a book, I want to read that book. Like I want to know what it is that you're so afraid.
Yeah.
And it's just a fear of knowledge. You know, it's fear of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to sit here and be like that, you know, ideas are powerful. Like knowledge sure. is powerful. But when you get to the place of like shielding children from education, I don't know. Once again, I even as I started, I was like, this topic is kind of
intense. There's a lot of things happening. I just read on Monday, that was yesterday, before we recorded, that Utah put into law like a very strict ban on social media for kids, anyone under 18, basically making it like alcohol. So they're not allowed right. to have it, which it's funny because as I was listening to like the Daily, whatever, you know, it was like the New York Times puts it out on Spotify. And at first I was like, well, I totally understand that like social media is horrible for people's brains and all these things, but there's a different way to go about it instead of banning it like that. Like there's state, like they used the UK and actually California as good examples of how to, you basically put the onus onto the companies where they have to mm-hmm. like, don't like, anyways, then we could easily from this conversation go into why do students have to protect themselves from guns? Like, why is it on the student to protect themselves all the time? Let's protect them. I don't know. That was convoluted, yeah. but there's a lot going on. I mean, I feel like this morning I went and I volunteered on my Tuesday to do library, and they wouldn't let me in. I mean, it was kind of a freaky. I felt bad for the admin in the front, you know? They're like, what's your purpose, you know? Because normally you press a little button, then they see you, and then you wave, and they let you in, and then you have to do all these things. But with the most recent shooting, you know, it's...
Right.
I don't know. It's really sickening. I feel like very freaked out, and I feel in two ways kind of numb about everything and then freaked out. Cause like, what can you do if somebody's going to spray bullets at, I can't protect everything. And you know, I don't know. And then I feel bad for the teachers, like my poor sister, like she's like, what the actual F? This is why some of the teachers are leaving. This is one of the reasons people are getting out of the field, because it's like, okay, so there's a very real possibility that you might die of a gunshot wound as a teacher. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I mean, so much. I mean, I had heard about the Utah thing. I think that like the issues that they bring up is like, how do you prove that you're in Utah, or how do you, like, I don't know how you like ban an app in one state.
Then there's geo-targeting, so if they have that on their sure. phone, they could, or geo-tracking or whatever.
And then, you know, my thoughts on Nashville are so, because I understand feeling numb, and I also understand, like, what is to be done about it, but it's sort of where it makes me crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who it was, but there was some politician that was like, he was literally on his way into, like, Congress being like, well, we're not going to fix it. Saying like, there's nothing we can do about this. And I'm like, well, then go fuck yourself. Yeah. Then why are you in government?
Exactly.
Like, if you don't want to get... I always think back to... Not that it was that long ago, but I think back to the Democratic debates when it was... Elizabeth Warren was one of them up on stage. Yeah. And so many of the candidates were like, well, I don't think we can do anything about that. Or I don't think we can do anything about that. And she had this line of like, I don't know why you would run for president of the United States to talk about the things that you can't do.
Mm.
Like, and the point being like, don't, if you can't, if you don't have an answer, if you don't have an idea at least on how to fix something, get out of government. Yeah. Why are you in government then? Like, why, that is a place where you're supposed to be coming up with ideas.
Solutions, you're supposed yeah.
to be saying solutions. And to say like, well, we're not gonna be able to fix that. I read this other stoop and like, whatever. Don't, I mean, speaking of social media, every time I go on Twitter for 3 seconds, I feel like my head's gonna explode. And someone being like, because the fact of the matter is that gun violence is now the number one killer of children and
that's
teens.
So
like, that is
fucked
the number
up.
One killer. It's insane. And what's even more insane was someone's comment of like, well, then what would you rather it be? Like, if it's not going to be guns, it's going to be something else. And I'm like, are you, can you
oh
process
my God. Walk away
what you
from the phone.
Just...
Walk away from the phone, Mike. No.
I know. And I just start to get in like, the, once again, in the crazy place where I feel like I'm going to scream at somebody.
I know.
But it just to me feels... I understand you cannot prevent every act of gun violence, but you can make it harder. And then the others, once again, other comment where someone was like, well, if we don't have the guns here, we'll just get it from the Mexican drug cartels. I'm like, no, they're getting their guns from us.
Yeah.
We are the ones making and supplying the guns for, like, yeah, it's just, it makes me in the crazy place. And
it makes me in the crazy place too, because I don't like that there's no seeming solution. Like, I think that that cannot be possible. That cannot be true.
Down to the simplest of like from 1994 to 2004, where there was a ban on assault weapons. There was a ban on them,
yeah,
and gun violence went down. Once again, proof's not saying you can eliminate, right? There are ways to do this, and we're just like the only country that can't figure out, like, there are things to be done that we're just not doing. And I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is that we care about guns more than we care about kids, which I know is kind of like the line everyone's going with, but it's because it feels so true.
Yeah. It's, I don't know what idiots are trying to keep it the way it is. I know. It makes me sick.
So, I'm not a politician, and I don't know that that's, and I don't want to be apathetic, so that's the whole numbing thing of, like, obviously you cannot just inundate yourself constantly with this kind of information, but it is, it is something that I know that you think about, it's quite a veer into other territory, but I guess on the other side of things, like, I went back to work this last week. I had my first shift back at the restaurant and it went fine. I will say that I was a little bit nervous leading into it. And then, like, 5 minutes in, I had two things, like, 5 minutes in. One, I was like, all right, I know how to do this. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And also, God, it's, you guys, if you have never waited tables before.
Yeah, everyone should.
Waiting tables is so hard.
Physically, so hard. Emotionally,
it's
spiritually.
And, like, I feel very lucky where I am. Like, I work with a lot of people that I like. And honestly, like, the clientele that I deal with is, like, almost entirely, like, really not, like, I have a really, really good gig. I will say that at the end of my shift, I was so tired. I'm a very, in the scheme of things, like, fit and active 45-year-old man. But I am still a 45-year-old man. And I was so tired by the end of my shift. I was just like, yeah, that's a whole other level of...
You'll get back, though, because it takes a minute to get your feet and your back in order of, like, standing and being up on your feet for that long.
Just getting the stamina
back. I think anybody, yeah. But because you are extremely fit compared to the rest of the world, so it'll probably come back to you real quick. But good for you. I'm glad it wasn't horrible. I'm glad it was kind of fun to see people. And
yeah, it was nice to, like, have. It's always that tough thing of, like, where, everyone, and I feel like I'm complaining about people being lovely, but everyone being like, oh, we really missed you. It's so nice to see you. And me kind of being like, I cannot return this.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of kidding. Like, it was nice to see people, and it was nice to, like, be up and about. Listen, whatever the job is, like, it is a sense of purpose. Like, it does give you a sense of, like, I have to get out of bed to do this thing today, and in whatever capacity that's gonna be, and it's not necessarily a job, but whatever your daily purpose is. I will also say that in the midst of going back to work and kind of, like, trying to re-examine, because I think that we did talk about this, that it's tough for me going back only because it gives me that feeling that, like, the job wasn't the problem. Like, the job wasn't the issue. Like, if I'm going to develop good habits outside of that, I have to be able to do both at the same time. And I will say, to that end, I do have, I mean, and I don't think that the program is what is going to make one be creative or productive, but I did finally just, like, re-up Word. Like, I have Word again, because it's just how I wrote before, and it's the program that I'm used to. And I was writing in notes for a while, and I was kind of doing, like, other forms of it, but
there's,
I was like,
Google.
Just get Word back. And I was doing some stuff in Google, and maybe I should get better at
that. I'm gonna teach you that, because it's the best. It's like all share docs, and you can, I mean, you could, I think Word now has a share situation too, but
it does. And I'm a little bit, and I honestly don't even know, like, what I've subscribed to, so I should probably look into that and see if I'm gonna be paying a whole lot of money for this.
Yeah, Google's free. I mean,
right. Google's free. And
to a point.
Yeah, we'll have to go over that together because I think it's
the same thing. Honestly, I'll do a little tutorial. If anybody would like to watch, just ping us. No, I'm kidding. But I can, because it has all of the same features, most in the same place too. I'm going to help you out, baby. I'm going to help you out.
Okay, cool. Because I did then, so I had a very frantic moment of, I don't have any of my documents, literally decades worth of writing that aren't on my computer, that are on my hard drive that I'm looking at right now.
Oh.
But I couldn't, like, it wasn't letting me access it. Like, I had like a full 24 hours of, like, all of my writing is gone. Like, all of this stuff that I've written is just, like, doesn't exist anymore. And the end of the story is that somehow, I don't even know how I did it, but somehow I was able to get to it and I was able to, like... Like, literally one of them just popped, like, a file popped up. And I was like, oh, you're one of those that I... And I was able to use that to then find other ones. It's kind of a weird... But anyway, so I think that's mostly fine. And I will say that, like, pulling out stuff that I've written a long time ago, there's a lot of it that I'm like, okay, well, this is good. Like, there's stuff that I can work with here.
You can build on it.
Yeah. And I was talking to you about this, and I'll probably send it to you today, though I need to do a go over. But I rewrote, you know, I had written a pilot for a half an hour comedy. I wrote it like probably 10 years ago, and I was really happy with it. But 10 years later, I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, this doesn't really work anymore. This isn't where my life is. This doesn't really reflect us even, you know? And so I did, you know, I went through it and I was kind of amazed how much I was able to not change.
Okay.
But I was able to kind of like update it for now. Anyway, so I'll share that with you.
I'm so
excited. Then listen, I'm putting it out right now. I'm gonna film it. I'm
great,
gonna hire
too.
People if I need to. Yeah, we're gonna figure out how to film you in LA, and because it's a lot of phone conversations now instead of me going to the bar that you work at, because that's what our lives are now.
Yeah.
And you have more scenes now too. You have more lines.
Great. I can't wait. I could do it.
But I'm really excited. And that has been fun. And that has felt creative. And I'll say, like, there are two other like half-written plays that I looked at that I kind of went through. And, you know, one of them is all about what we were talking earlier of like parents' rights in schools and teachers making certain decisions. It's interesting that that like 10 years later, I'm looking at this like, oh, this almost makes more sense now than it did when I was first writing it. So anyways, that's been the bright side of it, that I have had a few days where I've been like, today I felt like I did something creative. And I think that I really needed that to have that feeling of like accomplishment of any kind.
I get it. I absolutely get it. Well, I got some good news this week. I am coaching a team, a volleyball team.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's exciting.
So I was on like a white list. It's just for the city, but you know, volleyball used to be a huge passion of mine for like, oh my God, so many years of my life before I went to college, basically, as I got hurt at the end of my whatever. It's fine. But yes, I love the game. I love watching the game. I love playing the game. And my daughter started playing and I was like, oh, this would be so great. I could coach her team. Well, everything was booked and full. Well, somebody dropped out. And so now I'm like kind of scattering. No, I'm like getting all of it together to get this team going, and we have like only two practices. It's the minor division. So anyways, all I'm saying is I'm really, really excited. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna be a coach.
So wait, like what age group?
8 to 10.
Okay. All right, cool.
So that's when they begin. Those are the beginners of the volleyball. And I'm like a little nervous because it's not a complicated sport, but there's a lot that it entails to play like a real game. And I'm like, I'm getting people who don't know probably anything about it. So I'm going to have to really teach them. I'm like, do I send them home with like YouTube links to look at? You know what I mean? Like, because they don't even know. I don't think, unless, I mean, Emil, my daughter knows, but like, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I'm excited. I feel like I had so many wonderful coaches in my life that I hope to be, I mean, this is just a small when they're the youngest, but like you can really affect people in a good way. You can be a positive influence on them. And I'm really hoping I could do that. I just have to keep a positive frame of mind. And like, you know, like what does Oprah say? You just wish for it and then let it go. Cause I can't like go crazy. Cause I get a little neurotic and I just like obsess over things. I have to just like be like, it's going to be great. I know how to play.
Yeah.
I know how to talk to people. I am a nice person. I'm kind and I'm patient with most people except for my kids. So there you go.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of that we've talked about in the past of like, I don't know. And I don't mean to put it quite this way, but like idiots do stuff all the time.
Right.
And we're not idiots. Yeah. Like, we're smart people.
I've already made like a beautiful calendar. I've already printed it out so they know exactly where each practice is. And I'll also send like a digital link. But, you know, it's so nice to have like a paper. I'm ready, yeah, Mike. For sure. I'm ready.
That's exciting. I'm excited to hear more about your journey as that goes along.
Thank you.
So I was kind of saying that I am going to land on something for what I'm digging this week, but it's kind of like a meandering journey. Do you have like a specific thing
or
should we just kind of talk it out? You do. All right. Then do your specific thing and then we'll kind of like do my weird
journey. It's really small. It's really short, but everyone who listens knows I love karaoke. And by the way, I need Mike. It's like, we're going to have to figure out like every other month, come visit each other one. And I'm just going to get you my same system. So we have it anyway, but I'm always checking, cause I love, I love Brandi Carlile. And she has this song called Broken Horses. As you know, it's just like a raging, wailing song. And I keep looking because I just want to sing it on karaoke so hard. I randomly looked yesterday. It's there. And You and Me on the Rock, these are both from her new album.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I was so pleasantly like surprised because it's been a really weird couple of week, you know. So I'm like, so I got to sing it. But I had to sing it two keys down.
Sure.
Because, wow.
She has, she has her range is kind of crazy.
And that is what
I
dig.
She likes to hit those high notes.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I can hit them, but I have a hard time right in the middle, you know? So going from to, but it's really fun. It's a really joyful song to sing. I've done it by myself in my house a couple times, to be honest with you, since I found it as well.
I think that's great. That's wonderful. I'm excited to come do. We've already talked about like new songs that we want to try. So I'm excited for our next karaoke get together. So I didn't have a specific thing, but I kind of thought we would talk through a few. Like, did you finish Shrinking?
I did, yes.
My thing about Shrinking is that I really like it, except for all the things about it that make me crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's really funny and really fun.
But
the scene where he throws his wife's stuff away and then later is surprised that his daughter is mad about it. I'm like, you're a therapist though, right? Like, you know some things, right?
Exactly.
So there are always moments like that where I'm like, what is going on? But I did really like it. That last moment, I'm kind of like, what is going to happen next season? Anyway, whatever. But I really did enjoy it. And then did you finish The Last of Us?
I did. We did that last night. And I'm like, Pedro is getting a little crazy. He's getting a little.
Yeah, I was. And that's how the game ends. And I was talking to a friend of mine who played the game. And he kind of and once again, to not spoil anything, but he talks about like, you are that character and what you're doing. Like, he talked about like the feeling of playing the game and being like, well, this is my next thing that I have to do. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
I was like, oh shit. It was like, there was like a Mommy Dearest look in his eye. At the end,
for
like
sure.
It was hard to watch, and
really hard to watch.
I'm glad that it's over for the season, but now I'm like, well, what's gonna happen now? What's gonna happen now?
I'm curious as to season two, because this same friend that played the game said, I think people aren't super into the second one, so I'll be curious to see how they go
maybe
about.
Maybe they get a little creative,
that.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then, you know, a couple of shows that I enjoy are back, like Yellow Jackets is back on Showtime and Succession is back on HBO. Neither of them super pleasant shows to watch.
Haven't gotten into either of them, but I am on Ted Lasso.
Yeah, Ted Lasso's been back for a little. Yeah, I am both sad this is the last season, but I'm kind of like, all right, tell me your story, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting. You had warned me, I think, that it's a little slow burn in the beginning, in the first episode, or maybe someone else. I can't remember who warned me. But it's just, the dynamics are interesting, and there's a lot of mental illness happening all around. It's diving into it in a very interesting way. But I will say that I do, like, because it's the same writer, the Shrinking guy, right?
Yes.
Roy.
Yeah.
Roy. I really, I mean, some of the jokes on Shrinking, they like gut me. I fucking love, I laugh so hard.
Oh, sure.
It's joyful. I was sad that was the last one, I'll be honest. I was sad because it's a little piece of, I know there's someone like, on Shrinking, when he got rid of it, you can ask Adam. I like screamed about that. I was like, that is some absolute bullshit. You would never want to do that because, first of all, she has nice clothes.
No.
Just function.
Yeah.
Don't get rid of nice clothes. And then also it's your mother's like fashion. That's an expression of herself. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
I digress.
I mean, I suppose we can also state that, like, he didn't actually throw it out. He kept this. So it all ends up fine. But in that moment, I was like, fine. This is insane. Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I was saying before we started recording that you called me and I was listening to a podcast and it was him. It was Brett Goldstein who plays Roy Kent. And it's so funny hearing him talk because it doesn't sound anything like that character. Like, he's very
is he like, hey, girl.
A little bit.
No,
like
I love it.
A little bit. I mean, not quite that extreme, but he's much softer spoken and just seems like a normal dude and actually talks about how when they wanted Harrison Ford for Shrinking, but like Harrison Ford, I mean, he's now done other television, but like it was such a kind of a pipe dream of like you're gonna get Harrison Ford to come do this half an hour comedy, and that Harrison Ford happened to be in London because he was filming Indiana Jones Part 5. Whoa. And that Brett, he was the only one of the creators who was also in London. So they had him go, like, reach out to Harrison Ford. Yeah, and he talks about going to Harrison Ford's, like, hotel room. And that he opens the door and he's just Indiana Jones. Like, he's just, like, full on Indiana Jones. And that I guess Harrison Ford was like, it's the best script I've ever read. And he was saying, he was like, I think that he has the wrong... I think he's mistaken. Like, I know the films that he's made. There's no way he thinks this is the best script that he's ever
really
read.
Good.
It's really,
really
good. No, it is. And all the things that I complain about. Very interesting. And I love... Oh, Wendy Malick, who plays the doctor that he... Like, I just love her. I've loved her for so long. Yeah, it's a great cast. And really... And now we're back to Shrinking. But, like, it is just a really...
Yeah.
Well, and he was... Because he was also talking about that it's another show about mental health. That, like, Ted Lasso... ostensibly is a sports show, but it's not really. It's about it uses that to explore like mental health and like men's interaction with each other, and that Shrinking is kind of the same, has a lot of the same themes. So yeah, both very interesting. So I did start, and I'm really enjoying The British Ghosts.
Oh my gosh, Mike. Oh, so good.
It is really good. And I will say that like almost immediately, I'm like, wait, why do I love this actress that plays Kitty? Kitty's the kind of like...
Kitty.
Sort of the simpler... Yeah. And I realized it's her name is Lolly Adafope. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but she was on Shrill. She was on she was like the best friend on Shrill. I'm literally like a minute in being like, why do I already love you? Like, why do... And it's because I loved her so much on Shrill. So I am really enjoying it. I'm curious, have you watched any of the CBC version of it? Or CBS version of it?
And actually, we're in season 2, and I think it was like episode 8. I was like, damn, this is good. It took me a while to get into the British, or not sure, to get into the American one, but now that I'm in it, the writing is so funny. It's so funny. It's like they are writing for people like the most recent episode we watched was there was a camera crew in the hotel or whatever, the mansion.
Sure.
And some of the joke, it's just you're gonna love it, but it's gonna take you a minute to get there. Because, you know.
Yeah, I can't decide if I need to watch all of the British version first and then watch the American. Because the British is still on. Like, there's a new season coming out. Like, in, like, a new... Or they don't call it that. A new series is coming out.
New series. All right.
So, yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, am enjoying that, though.
I think, like, finish this, what you got. Finish the season and then start the next... start the American. But I really, like... It makes me sad that I have to watch it with Adam because... I can't binge like I want to binge.
I gotcha. Well, so this doesn't necessarily bring me to what I'm gonna land on for my dig-in, but it is, I'll tell a little story that leads into something that I ended up really enjoying, and it has to do with my no good, very bad mood that I've been in. And it, particularly Sunday, I got up and I was, and you know, it probably was a combination of things, that like Saturday had been my first shift back, so I think I was feeling a little, and once again, grateful, hashtag blessed, like happy to be at my job, but like I was a little bit like, okay, well, this is where I still am, and that's fine, and I'm back at work. And I also had taken some time off the drink last week.
Good for you.
And then after working my shift back, I was like, I did it. I'm going to go ahead and have a party for one in my living room tonight. So I was probably like a little feeling off Sunday as I was going for a walk. And I was walking down Fifth Avenue. I was walking along Central Park. And this is not a good story about me, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it anyways and trust that we're all friends here.
Yep.
There was like a small group of individuals who were like leaving the park, and they all had, luckily, like matching like sweatpants on. And I just had this moment of like, ugh, like such an annoying like New York thing of like, oh, we're all wearing our matching sweatpants and we're all leaving the park. They were doctors. They were in scrubs.
God.
That's why they had matching pants. So for like 10 seconds, I was in this crazy, rageful, like, that's so dumb. And I'm like, oh, they're medical professionals, Mike. They're headed to the hospital across the street. You need to relax.
Oh my God.
So I was like, all right, what am I doing? Like, I don't really want to listen to random music. I don't have any. So many years ago, I got caught in the Audible thing where, like, you subscribe and you get, like, a free Audible every month.
Yeah.
But I was never listening to them, and it took me too long to cancel. So I have, like, 10 Audible books that I've just never, ever listened to. And I was like, okay, you know what? Listen to something. Let's see what we have here. And I was like, all right, I'm in a bad mood. And I didn't really know what this book was about. But I was like, I've always wanted to read Sylvia Plath's The Bell Jar.
Okay.
Because I know that it's sort of about, like, mental anguish. I'm only, like, an hour into it. I will say that I find it fascinating. It's New York in the early 60s, and it's read by Maggie Gyllenhaal, who I love. Like, I just love the tone of her voice. I love her style of reading. So right now, in this moment, I'm really enjoying The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath being read by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
All right.
And I know you love Book on Tape.
I do.
I don't love it because I get too distracted too easily, so yeah. I do find myself rewinding and playing a few times. But you know what? I'm going to put that out there for your next book on tape.
Okay.
Check out Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I didn't know a ton about it. I guess it's the only book that Sylvia Plath ever published. And I guess it really is just autobiographical. She's simply changed everyone's names.
Huh.
But it's so far it's fascinating. I'm really enjoying it.
Great.
So there you go.
Super fun.
And then anything in particular you could do without this week?
Well, you know, I don't want to rehash the horrible gun violence.
It's hard.
But that's really, I wish that that didn't exist. I wish that we didn't have to deal with kids dying when it seems like something could be.
Right. There are things to be done. Those that are like, there's nothing to be done. I'm like, just you don't know what to do about it doesn't mean there's nothing to
exactly.
be done. There are things that we can do. And just because you're not brave enough, I don't know. I don't know what to say to politicians. That
yeah. The other thing I could do without is, yeah. you know, I told you we got our floors done because we had the flood.
Yeah.
And we had to pay for it. By the way, if you ever have a flood, get the insurance people there before you clean it up or you don't get any insurance claim. So we had to pay for all of our floors, you know, by ourselves, which is fine.
Oh, no.
It is what it is. I accept my responsibility. But so you pay, and it's a lot. It's like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. But like we paid half up front and then I wrote a check and they call the thing that's so annoying. It's just like so stupid. The reason we didn't do a debit because there's an extra 3%, whatever you pay. So we wrote a check and I just hate checks. I could do without checks because for some reason, I mean, there was money. I have money. Take my money. Like there was money in the account. But then they have to make an uncomfortable call because it didn't go through. And I'm like, oh, there's money in there. I don't know what to tell you. So I have to go back and write another check. I'm just like, get the fuck out of here. You know?
Oh, that's
just
so annoying.
Just get the fuck out of here. Like, come on. Get the fuck out. Sorry. Now I have Tourette's because I'm just like, are you kidding me? like we save this stupid money for this. I'm very happy to have floors. It really is nice to have floors. But still, I'm just like, it's done. We're done. Take it. Go away. So I have to get... I hate like that, those little details that you're just like, oh, I don't want to waste my time doing that again. And then you feel bad.
I
like,
gotcha.
Like I felt like, oh my God, I have money. I'm like, you know, it's an uncomfortable call to have.
Super weird.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, mine, I mean, I have, for one thing, this isn't really a do without, but like, I'm so excited that Sweeney Todd, there's a revival of Sweeney Todd that just opened on Broadway a couple nights ago. And it's Josh Groban and Annalee Ashford. I feel like we've talked about Annalee Ashford
a few
times. I love her
so much.
She's just so incredible. And I'm so excited to see it. And it's just, I'm just going to have to spend money. Like it got raves and it's like selling out. And I'm like, okay. What's my Sweeney Todd budget going to be? Because I'm going to see it. I will forever say, yeah, 100%. Like, Sunday in the Park is my favorite Sondheim, is my favorite anyone creation. It's my favorite work of art. But Sweeney Todd, I do think, is Stephen Sondheim's greatest achievement. Like, it's such a masterpiece. So I'm very excited to see it. I could do without the fact that I'm probably going to drop a good amount of cash on it, but that's fine. The only thing that I could do without, and I literally, like, help. My watch won't stop talking to me.
Uh-oh.
And I've like gone into the phone app. I've done all the things that they're telling me, but like literally it is like 1 mile, blah, 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 blah. No. I'm like, I don't, why are you talking? Like, I have you on silent. I have all the, like, I don't understand what else to do. So I have to further investigate, like, my watch won't stop talking to me. And so there you go. So if anyone knows, I feel like I've been here before and I fixed it, so I'll figure it out. But, like, it is very, very aggravating and such a stupid thing to complain about. But it really annoying me. Like, in the middle of nowhere, it's like, exercise ring closed. I'm like, okay, well, not everyone needs to know that. Anyway, that's all. And then, you know, we don't really... I've been real lackadaisical with the topics lately, so...
It's okay.
But, you know, we've covered enough ground, I think.
We'll
get
back on our topics. Our topic.
We'll get some topics at some point. Yeah. Do you have anything random to close us out with?
No. Sorry.
Because I did, and then I didn't, and then I did again, and now I've forgotten. How interesting is that? But give me 1 second. What was it? There was something... Oh! I'm seeing Life of Pi on Broadway tonight.
Fun.
Did we watch that movie together?
Possibly. I don't know. I probably fell asleep.
Because I saw it in the theater and then I saw it at home. And I don't remember. It's, you know, it's a book that I remember like reading the book and getting to the end. And
yes,
it's one of those
we did watch
things
it together.
That has like a we did,
yes.
Right?
And yeah, because it's Ang Lee. I thought it was really
good.
Yeah.
It's like cinematography, like visually, it's one of the most amazing films. Mm-hmm. And I'm very curious to see it on stage. It's come over from London.
I can't wait.
And I hear that it's quite the masterpiece.
They had the tiger on the Today Show today. And it was incredible.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm excited. So that's my random thing.
Great.
I'm seeing Life of Pi on Broadway. And I'll have that to talk about next week. Yay. And so much more. And maybe we'll even have a topic. Who knows?
Yep. That sounds fabulous.
But we did okay. I'm so glad we got
Me
to.
Too.
I know you have return journey to the park and all
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, I gotta go
get my
carriage.
But I'm glad we scraped out some time. And we'll be back next week. Go say hi to your kids for me.
Oh, they miss you.
All right. Bye.
I love you too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. So you have a scary, like, I'm not really there sign on your face right now. So I don't know. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you fine. So we'll just keep trekking along.
Okay.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, good. Hey. I just turned off my internet.
I don't know why that's a thing.
I don't
like,
know
why
either.
Is it better without? Okay. Anyway.